Since the first class offerings in 2009, the College of Western Idaho's enrollment has more than skyrocketed. Today, CWI serves nearly 30,000 students every year, and it is just going to get bigger. So how does this college plan to deal with this growth? Bert Glandon has been the president of CWI since 2009, and he joins me live in studio to talk about the college and its future. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
First question. The college only owns three of the 11 buildings that you use for instruction. So are you going to be focused when it comes to growing CWI? How do you meet those community demands without owning your own buildings?
Well, right now, I'll tell you, it is a challenge because right now in Ada County, we have about five different buildings that we lease. And we went out for a bond last March, and it didn't get the 66% it needed.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is what we're doing is looking at right now is we have 10 acres in downtown Boise on the Whitewater property. And because the bond didn't pass, what we're looking at now is we are challenged with renewing the leases that we already have in place and possibly looking at other types of sites for other type of operations. There's only so many students you can put into a particular area, and we're really maxing that out. The other thing that CWI has really stepped up to the plate on, which I'm proud of as an institution, they've embraced this whole new concept of how do we deliver differently. And Micron Center out, our technical center out in Nampa, we're working that building 16, 18 hours a day. And there's very few educational institutions that are utilizing their buildings for swing shift training, and we're even looking at some night shift training from 11 to 7 in the morning. And that's one of the ways that you can expand your delivery of services and handle more students with the same physical space that you have.
Because your growth isn't going to stop.
Oh, no. I was talking to the student registration area before I came out. We're already looking at increased enrollments in summer, and we're looking at another huge possible spike this coming fall. It is interesting that the consultants, when they first came in and took a look at the operation, they said, you know, by 2025, you should get up to about 20,000 students. Well, in 2018, we're at 30,000 students, and a typical community college will serve somewhere between 6 to 7.5% of the base population. And if you take the Valley's base population right now, you would say, Bert, what's wrong? You're way behind the curve. You should be serving 65,000 students. And we possibly could be, but not with the facilities we have in place.
But do you think part of that was the fact that the Treasure Valley never had a community college until 2009?
Correct. That is one of the real challenges. Actually, Boise State University started that way, but its mission grew, and Bob Custer did a phenomenal job of taking it to a regional research university. And you can't have all things and make it and really excel in that area.
But that traditional community college, when you think of that traditional community college,
correct.
Even when I moved here almost 20 years ago, I was like, there's not a community college?
It was the largest metropolitan area without a community college president in the United States. And that's one of the reasons when we first started, we heard from national organizations, AACC, American Association of Community College, the first year or two, they were calling us and said, what are you doing?
Right. And
even the governor called.
We only opened our doors.
We just opened up and people showed up, and the governor at one time and the legislature one time said, where are these students coming from? Well, when you have a community college that has open access, we don't limit the students coming in terms of we accept all people coming in and then make them better. We don't say you have to have a 3-5 grade point average. You don't have to have this. You don't come in, tell us what you need. We'll figure out how to move you up in the economic scale. So we'll give you the skills so that you're a more productive citizen than you were prior.
You have a levy coming up.
Correct.
In November. It's a plant facilities levy, mm-hmm. for your health science building. Tell me about this and why you need to go this route with a levy.
Well, with the last bond, the number one priority or the number one building that was had the highest priority was the health science building. And if you look at the Western Treasure Valley, if you look at this valley and the area, the population growth and things that are occurring, we have a lot. We're aging. Everybody's aging, and there's a great need for health care. We have two new hospitals. We have St. Al's just a mile away from us, a brand new hospital in Canyon County. We have a brand new St. Luke's just two exits away from us. And what we looked at was how do we get synergism? How do we move all of our health science training into one facility? We're looking at about a 4 or 5-story building. The legislature graciously gave us $10 million in 12 months. You got $10 million, you got 12 months, raise the other $39 million, and you can build the building. And so we will be going out for a levy. Now, we don't know what the levy is going to look like right now because we are literally on a fast track to talk to the hospitals, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, healthcare, a lot of the vendors, and say, look, we need business. We need our business and industry partners to come to the table and say, what, who wants to be a player with us so that we reduce the amount of the levy that we go out to the population about raising the money for the rest of it.
I'm speaking with Bert Glandon, the president of the College of Western Idaho. You talked about the $10 million appropriations that you got through the legislature in 2018. What people may not realize about this is that it will go away if you do not raise the rest of that money. And what you have, I believe, until June of next year.
We have exactly 12 months to raise the other $39 million.
So what happens? This levy doesn't pass. What do you do?
We will be in dire straits if we can't figure out how to get our corporate partners, our people that work with us to step up to the plate and be actually real partners. The last legislative session, one of the JFAC people asked me about how are your advisory committees going, and I kind of made the brash statement at that time. I said, I don't need any more advisory committees. What I need is business partners that want to come to the table and really work with us. And one of the things CWI brings to the table is to say, okay, what do you want? How do you want it? And how do you want it delivered? We're talking to the hospitals right now and saying, what kind of training program do you want in place? If it's a nurse's, it's got to be certified, but how do we deliver it so it's value added to the hospitals, it's value added to the industries, and then how are you going to play with us financially to make sure that we can reach this goal?
Because with this health science building, if I'm understanding this, you could add upwards of 2,500 more students with this?
We can add 2,500 more students if we don't do anything but the traditional college training from 7 in the morning till 3. There's a larger number that we can do if we have collaborative agreements with our business and industry partners and our hospitals and say, look, we'll start offering training from 3 to 11 at night. We'll start offering training from 11 at night till 7 in the morning. That could be a much larger number than the 2,500 that they're talking about.
And when you look at health sciences, you could do long-term training, but also short-term training,
absolutely.
Right?
And there is more and more. If you talk to the hospitals, they say there's a lot of tech positions that they've got people that are working that can't quit their jobs but need to figure out how to get the tech skills to move to the next level and move up. We are working with them saying, okay, how do we do that? And how quickly can we put that in place for them?
And another thing that you do, so a lot of times when we talk about going on to college and we talk about getting that four-year degree, what we're seeing now, though, sometimes are a gap in positions like electricians, plumbers, journeymen. You have programs for that.
They're called apprenticeship programs, the plumbing, electrician, all those kinds of programs. One, we have the electrician apprenticeship program all online now as well, so that serves more. This last fall, we had an increase of 1,000 new students in the apprenticeship programs alone. And when you look at CWI and its growth factor, it's not just that we're growing. We have the kinds of programs and we have the kinds of opportunities for students to come in, get what they need, and go to work. And we're putting people in jobs.
And you're putting in people in jobs that will give them economic stability.
Correct. Correct. We are raising the bar. One of the classic stories is some of these students that don't think education was for them, we find ways that if they had trouble even in high school coming out, we find ways to get them a skill set where they can become a productive citizen in a very short period of time. That's going to change the face of the economy in the Valley as well.
Talk to me about your placement for career technical students, because this is a pretty high number.
Right. 98%?
98%.
Yes.
And do they usually remain in Idaho? So are you educating and people remaining in the state?
That is correct. There are some that go out of state because of job opportunities and because of salary opportunities. Quite frankly, though, 98% shows that the community colleges in particular, and CWI has done a terrific job of getting out and meeting face-to-face with business and industry. There's two different – I spent 13 years in corporate life before I came back into education, and business has a language. They have a set of terms and languages that they use. Higher education has a language, and I think one of the big things that we've been able to start to bridge the gap on is to actually have educators and business industry people talking to one another, not at one another. Western Cat, one of our model programs. It took us a year and a half of conversation, but we finally got down to the point to where for Western CAT, those students come in, they go to school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and in 13 months, they've got an AA degree, they've got a job, 100% graduation, 100% placement in the industry, and it's hugely successful. And that's the kind of partnerships we're looking for with other business and industry as well, to meet the needs and bridge this gap between the educational language of ease and the business language of ease, and bridge that so that we get what needed to change the economy of the valley.
I want to go back to that acreage that you own in near downtown Boise.
Correct.
Because you brought up the fact that you're at this critical point about having to figure out renewing leases from mm-hmm. five buildings, mm-hmm. and you have this empty lot. But once again, it comes back to money.
Correct.
What will potentially happen with this space?
Well, the 10 acres that we have at Whitewater, we actually have a preliminary plan for a seven-story building there. And it would be an urban campus, not mm-hmm. a rural. It would be an urban campus. Of the other community colleges in the state, College of Western Idaho is a commuter campus. We don't have student housing. We don't have athletic programs. We don't even have a student union building. So, I mean, it really is a commuter college where students come, get the course they need, and then go on, go back to work, go back to their families or whatever it is. And the other thing that isn't mentioned is we need this building in downtown to provide services. But we also, 30% of our programming right now is all online or hybrid. So we have students that come to campus once a week or maybe once every other week, and they're getting their programming through online services. Doesn't work as well in the more rural areas, but it works great in the metro area.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking to me.
Thank you for having me here today.
Burt Glandon is the president of the College of Western Idaho. Thank you again so much.